Africa. This is Let's Talk, where we take a light-hearted look at everyday life, the day-to-day issues you care about. I'm your host, Sunday Shomari, in Washington. Tonight, marathon.
There is a common product referred to as Mursi, just like a concoction. It helps this marathoners at least be able to be much aggressive.
In Ethiopia, it's a highland, so people always walk. You don't have cars, so they are natural athletes.
Natural athletes.
That is well said, right?
I know. So what is the strategy of winning a marathon? According to Shape.com, there are several tips to be successful. But what are those? Is it the shoes, diet and hydration, or it has to be in your genes? Well, we'll find out tonight, as usual, on Let's Talk. We will explore this, of course, in our usual light-hearted manner. So please stay tuned. And now it's time to welcome to our show my colleagues in the house, Solomon Abati from the Horn of Africa Service. For the first time, Solomon, welcome aboard.
Thank you, Sunday. Thank you for having me, for inviting me to this excellent show of yours.
Please, I'm honored.
And hello, Africa,
yes.
From myself too.
Thank you. And of course, please welcome Mohamed Olat Hassan from the Somali Service. Welcome back, sir.
Thank you, Sunday.
Okay, in this edition of Let's Talk, we'll be discussing marathon. Well, do we enjoy marathon or we just enjoy watching? There's a lot to be done to be successful. So, I spoke to Swahili VOA reporter in Nairobi, Kennedy Wandera, and I wanted to know, what is the secret of Kenyans winning marathons all the time?
I think it's a unique event that brings Kenyans together. And provided that Kenyans, mostly areas that are well known for marathons, are mountainous, so it becomes easy for us to make sure that at least we can be able to participate to a higher level, especially when we're in training. That's why Kenya, especially people from Rift Valley, Kenyans who like competing, find mountainous regions as areas that they can be able to participate.
Okay. Now, since so many years, you're breaking records all the time from the Rift Valley. What is the thing here? Is just the altitude? What about the physique? What about the food? What about the training, endurance? Anything else that these guys do? Are they just walking up? If you're from Rift Valley, just go and win just because you're from Rift Valley?
No, it takes a number of aspects for one to get to that height. One of them is, like I talked about the mountainous regions where you can easily participate, especially when for long distance running, it's easy for you to run around the mountains. And in fact, here in Kenya, we have a local brew that these guys usually use. There is a common brew, common referred to as Mursi.
Local brew?
Yeah.
What does it do?
it's just like a concoction. It helps these marathoners to at least be able to be much aggressive while running. And
really?
It also involves hard work and an application from a number of officers who put in their efforts to ensure that at least Kenyans can be able to run for that long distance.
I'm so much interested in this local brew, my friend. Where is this coming from?
That is the Rift Valley. If you come to Nairobi one day, you'll be able to get it. Once you ask somebody about music, you easily get it.
This is the secret behind winning Morsik. Wow. This is something, my friend. And I was just talking to somebody else here. He told me, you know what? People can do all kinds of things, but winning a marathon, it takes a lot. It's not an easy thing, especially when you're coming from the Rift Valley area. And all of a sudden, you're in Boston.
Yeah.
These are two different places. There was one guy who won because he was barefoot. Another one, he was wearing very minimal shoes. Now, what about the Kenyans running over there? Are they having a specific contract with a specific type of shoes they do use, or just their own thing?
No, there are no specific shoes they use. The ones that they use are these athlete-made shoes, the sports shoes, and but they're usually flat on the ground, so you don't need to run barefoot as either main way. I also believe other than having such kind of sports shoes, the temperatures in Rift Valley are so conducive, conditions are so conducive to enable one to run for such long distance unlike other countries.
Thank you, Kennedy Wandera. This is Let's Talk, and we're discussing marathon. So what is the secret of these marathon winners, especially from Ethiopia, Kenya, and East Africa in general, Somalia, as we mentioned here as well? Is it the diet? Is it the sleep? Is it the shoes? Is it where they're coming from? And what is in there? So please, guys, help me out here. What is it? Solomon.
That is an excellent question, Sunday. By the way, marathon was born somewhere in South Europe, somewhere in Greece and Sparta.
Okay.
And we Ethiopians think marathon was ours.
That's
you
what
know
I think
about
too.
That. Let me start from your question. One of the important part of your question is it from the shoes? Let me start with the first ever black African marathon winner on the Olympics.
Yeah.
That was in 1960,
yes.
Rome Olympics.
Rome Olympics,
exactly. And that was Abebe Bikila.
Yes, Abebe.
He won Rome Olympics barefoot.
Yes.
Do you know about that?
I know about that.
Do you
that.
Know the story?
I know
excellent.
The story.
You
how
know?
Did he make it? Because when they say they saw this African man with no shoes,
exactly.
They said, we're going to beat him. But
that
they were shocked.
That was very interesting, you know.
Yeah.
With him, there was Radi, the Moroccan great runner. He used to wear 26, and at that Rome Olympics, he wore 185.
Oh,
and he came next by 25 seconds, next to Abebe Bikila. And the story was like this.
Yes.
Abebe was not in the list to go to Rome Marathon. And his trainer, Onni Niskanen, the Swedish trainer, decided to put him as a substitute to Wami Biratu, who was supposed to run on Rome Olympics.
Right.
And he was listed just when the plane was about to depart from Addis.
Oh, my God.
And when they arrived in Rome,
The
sponsor of the shoes, Adidas company, didn't have shoes that would fit the feet of Abebe Bikila. And Bikila decided to run barefoot.
He said,
nobody believed that, man.
let me add to my friend's comments. You're talking about an African guy with two legs running with barefoot.
Yeah.
Right.
But in Africa, we have people who have no legs and still running with artificial legs, like
yes.
a South African athlete.
Yes.
So
yes.
that shows the uniqueness of this kind of athlete life in Africa.
Yeah. Yeah.
And one thing also that drives the athletes in terms of the secret my friend Sandy was talking about is poverty. When when people are living in poverty, they're thinking about something that can make them rich immediately.
Right. Uh-huh.
And when you are an African living in a village in Ethiopia or in East Africa or Somalia or somewhere, getting money immediately or striking it rich is not easy thing.
And
these Africans have in mind that if they just come up with a talent and technique, like athlete, soccer player, all these things, they can simply strike it rich. And that's where they're coming from. Getting a name in Africa while still you are young and not educated, it's not only running, but it's only some the things that are driving people are poverty, hope, money, and environment too. In Ethiopia, it's a highland, so people always walk, they don't have cars, so they are natural athletes.
Natural athletes.
That is well said. That is well said on one side.
Yeah, and hold it right there.
Okay.
For those of you just joining us, this is Let's Talk, a program of the Voice of America's Africa Service.
African music mix.
Everyone is looking for something special when maybe they should just listen instead. The VOA's African Music Mix will soothe your nerves and calm your head. Tune in from 0 to 300 UTC and 1100 to 1300 hours UTC to make you feel good. So treat yourself to that something special.
This is Let's Talk, where we take a light-hearted look at everyday issues of importance to you. I'm your host, Sunday Shomari, in our Washington studio with Solomon Abati and Mohammed Olat Hassan. Right now, we are discussing marathon. Well, and I spoke to Cassius Pambanaji from Tanzania, and I wanted to know why his country is not doing very well in marathon.
I think it's all about mindset and organization setup. I remember growing up back in Arusha, Tanzania in the 80s, and I could see a lot of marathon competitors from all over the world competing in Mount Meru Marathon, Kilimanjaro International Marathon, back in the days, late 80s and 90s, early 90s. We're really competitive. We were competing and winning these marathons, but all of a sudden in the late 90s to 2000s, all the way to these years, all that passion or can say competitiveness in the marathon is gone. So even the Kenyans have just started coming up in the early 20-something, but they went down like that also before. So I can say maybe it's all based on corruption and corrupt mind of the leaders. You can see there was a lot of money coming down from sponsorships, from these big running association like IAF, but people, instead of improving or instead of promoting young marathons to take over from old guys like Juma Ikangaa, Philbert Bayi, Idami Shanga, Suleiman Nyambui, and all those people relied on the old competitors and old winnings and famous of the people and could not develop new people. And that's where we are now.
Okay, so one of the things is corruption. One of the things is mindset, as you mentioned. But anyway, let's find out here. The winners of marathon right now, most of the time, especially in East Africa, I see them coming from these two countries I mentioned, Ethiopia and Kenya. But also, it doesn't just happen. They don't just wake up and go to win.
As I can say, marathon or any individual sports event both come from a competitor himself or herself. It comes from you. How much do you want it? I can say we are lacking those talents nowadays. We're lacking those people who say, okay, somebody is doing this, I can do it.
But as you say, most of these runners, they are born to run. People from the Rift Valley area in Kenya are always runners and they win. And this is what we see in these people from Mbulu in Tanzania. But why they don't get there? Is it just they lack one personal motivation?
As you said, they lack motivation. And I can tell you, even today, we go back to Arusha or we go to Kilimanjaro, even Dar es Salaam, in armed forces teams, you can see people are still running. We're running, but where are we running? Whom do we compete? What are our competitors? We set our targets too low. We're setting targets to break national records. We don't have people who are attempting to break the world records.
Thank you, Cassius Pambanaji. This is Let's Talk, and we're discussing marathon. Now, back to the studio. Okay, minimalist shoes and barefoot running has been a strategy for champions. And this is for decades, okay? And that is a story of the one and only Abebe Bikila in 1960. Solomon, you were talking about that. So, what really happened here? You were telling us the story. Continue.
Okay, there is something that Mohammed just mentioned.
Okay.
That was poverty that drives, you know, Africans or sportsmen from poor nations. Not only the sportsmen, you know, the youth from poor nations, you know, to strike it rich sooner by, you know, joining the sports track such activities, you know.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, for Ethiopians, nowadays this may be the case, but in old days, it is not the money, it is not the riches that, you know, inspires those veteran athletes to the track. But, you know, they didn't get, in fact, enough money to live on even, you know. Mm. And they were hired by the army, for instance.
Right.
Abebe Bikila was a member of the Imperial Guard, and he lived on his monthly salary only.
Okay.
And, you know, this is a question of pride on one side and a kind of heritage. from the old ones. Nowadays, for Ethiopians, if you win silver on from the marathon, it is not considered as a win.
It's not good enough.
It is not good enough. You should get the gold. That is the win, you know. Wow. But when you see in the wider world, you know, if you get 20th, that is a big win from the marathon.
Right.
And there are, you know, it is just like a dynasty of Ethiopian marathon runners because of that. And for a long time, the record of marathon was held by Ethiopians.
Yes.
And we can even mention the last marathon in Boston.
Yeah.
That is one of the oldest marathons in the world. Right. And Ethiopians were the winners on both male and female.
Yeah, it's true.
You know,
yeah.
And this is a big thing. And in 2014 and 2015, the winner was an Ethiopian. Do you remember when these Tsarnaev brothers created some
Those bombs in Boston?
Bombs in Boston, yeah. The winner was an Ethiopian. Same winner won the next year's marathon
as
Boston
well.
Marathon, yeah. And he dedicated to those who lost their lives, you know, and to the city of Boston. And one history here, part of history. By the way, Abebe Bikila was born on August 7, the same day when Los Angeles Marathon kicked off, you know. That was Los Angeles Olympic.
Okay.
August 7, 1932.
Wow.
You know, so
this guy was born to be a marathoner.
He was born to run and born to win.
I know, right?
And there are, you know, a lot of other athletes nowadays, Ethiopia and Eastern Africa.
One thing you will keep, let me ask you one thing. Talking about this kind of athletes and marathons, people may ask Ethiopians, part of Africa, they are people, they are human. Why are they so unique? And some people were talking about environment too.
You mentioned that.
Yeah. And can you tell us about the environment or the altitude of Ethiopia, how the people breathe, how they walk, all these things?
Ethiopia is somehow a mix of this highland and lowlands, you know.
Right.
And the highest mountain in Africa next to Kilimanjaro, your Kilimanjaro, is found in Ethiopia.
That
is,
really?
Yeah, Semen Peaks, that is called.
Yeah.
And Addis Ababa, the capital city, is found 2,000 feet above sea level.
Okay.
This is
that's too high.
It is very high, one of the highest places, you know, in the world, you may say, you know, cities,
right.
Yeah.
Right.
So, one thing, I think this, the altitude plays a good role, you know, it contributes positively, you know, so they can be stronger and with a better finish, you know, for the athletes. And probably the food, most athletes come from the areas where barley and wheat is staple food.
Okay.
So maybe that helped a lot. And the other thing is our people are natural athletes, as you said, Mohammed.
We
don't run.
I agree with that. In 2005, I was in Ethiopia at the Sababa, and I was briefly visiting there. And some of my colleagues asked me, can you play soccer with us? And I like playing soccer. And then I went to a stadium at somewhere called Hayarat inside Ethiopia.
Yeah.
And then I was playing soccer. I thought that I could play same thing as I was playing in Mogadishu. And then I was running a lot. My friend said, this is the first time you play soccer here in Ethiopia? I said, yes.
So you cannot breathe there, man.
You cannot keep quiet. He said, why?
Why?
And then said, you will answer later. And then after 40 minutes, I fell down.
Yeah.
Oh, I left. I missed oxygen.
Yeah.
Stuck. I couldn't even breathe.
Yeah.
And then my friend said, this is highland. So you have to slowly play and just adapt with the situation and the environment. You cannot run a lot because you need a lot of air and you cannot get it.
Can you get it? Yeah. Because as far as you go, you lose your oxygen.
So
this is Muhammad how you survive.
Muhammad came from the lowlands of Somalia.
Somalia.
Imagine, how can this man run like this? Almost, he was supposed to run in the sky.
Yeah, absolutely. And then I was staying there for 2 weeks. I was playing with them slowly.
Yeah.
And then when I went back to Somalia, people were surprising at me. I was running like a car.
You know?
Speed car.
Yeah.
Someone
in Somalia.
Somalia, back. And then I said, how are you running today? You got training. I said, I didn't get training, but I get natural air from Ethiopia.
I have been to Ethiopia.
And this is why maybe there are some athletes who want to train in Somalia, I mean in Ethiopia, before they go to the marathon.
Absolutely. That's what's happening in the world. When Ethiopians go there, it's like running like a car or horse. They have a bigger horsepower than the other people.
Than the other people, yeah.
You know, by the way, our athletes have longer endurance, you know.
Right.
Because they get trained in highlands and in lowlands as well.
Both,
you know,
okay.
In both conditions.
This is the best of both worlds, my friend.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And whenever they go to these trainings, they go as close dates as possible, you know, to the... to the trainings, so that you know their level of hemoglobin and whatever
so everything
are not changing.
Not
you know,
changing
they are intact.
When and you go to the competition,
they can finish in good condition. You know,
and this is the reason they keep winning every day.
I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know. This is simply.
But these are
my guesses.
But also an inspiration and belief is something else. When you believe that this kind of game belongs to you, like Ethiopians, that also plays part of.
Exactly.
Their moral. In let's get example in America. When you're here, when you talk about basketball, the black people in America, they think it's their property.
Yeah, like they own it.
They own it.
Yes.
And if you see every one of them, everyone who is shining in the American football
basketball. Yes,
they are American. They're African Americans.
Oh yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Same thing in Ethiopia. Ethiopians believe that this is their property,
is their
and they hold it.
Yeah.
That's what
yeah.
I can say.
Exactly.
And I can say maybe Kenyans are coming second. They're trying coming to that as
Kenyans,
well.
Kenyans are the closest competitors to the Ethiopians.
Mm-hmm.
That is true. And you know the inspiration comes from there. When you say this is mine, yes, I can do it.
Mm-hmm.
You win.
You
are right, Mohammed. You win.
Put it
it's
under
a possession.
Your heart and possess it.
Yeah.
Possession, yeah.
You know, Haile Gebrselassie, he is one of the legends of
the
athletics world,
you
know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And there is a saying, before Obama, Barack Obama said, yes, we can.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this, yes, the yes, we can, was said by Haile Gebrselassie.
Really?
That was his kind of hashtag.
Oh, yeah?
You know? And this was almost synonymous with the name Haile Gebrselassie. You know?
Oh, yeah.
So
that's how it goes.
Yes, when you
let
say...
Let me go back to that idea of the environment. The Somali ethnic guy who runs for the Britain, Mo Farah.
Mo Farah. Yeah.
He was born in a village close to Ethiopia and Somalia, the borderline, called Kalaberka.
Okay. Mm.
And then he went to United Kingdom, where he grew up. And then now when he's getting training, he
his birthplace?
His birthplace in Somalia. No, not Ethiopia sometimes.
Okay.
And also he comes to United States here, Borland, where it's a highland and it has same air like Ethiopia or Africa.
Okay, he's trying to get that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's getting training there. So when he was asked why you go there, he says, I feel my African air when I go there. So these guys are getting air from Africa, from their land, and then going to other, places,
to other places to compete.
And that's when they do it.
And they keep winning.
Yeah.
So that is the secret is
that's
Africa. Not the shoes, not the food. It is Africa.
Okay, you're tuned to Let's Talk, a program of the Voice of America's Africa Service. It comes to you Mondays at 17 hours, 30 Universal Time, right here on the Africa Service of the Voice of America. We'll be back.
What's happening, Africa? This is Jackson Bunganyi in Washington, D.C.
And I'm Nadia Sami in Johannesburg, South Africa. Thank you for joining us on Upfront each Wednesday, 17:30 UTC, for a lively discussion on issues that are topical, challenging, and always engaging.
The show tries to capture that fundamentally aspirational nature of today's African youth. As you've noticed, right here on the show, we talk about everything. Nothing is off the table.
I am a social networker, often online. For me, it's all about making connections, meeting people.
Ooh, without my family, I don't think I would have been here today because they gave me a lot of support morally.
Can't AU, African Union, can't these people really solve this nonsense of rigging election, brutality during what election violence, all this whatever.
Employment rates are climbing, so definitely there's less jobs in the market now.
Remember to connect with us on Facebook and on Twitter at Upfront Africa.
Welcome back. This is Let's Talk, a program of the Africa Service of the Voice of America. Back to you guys. The idea that less weight on your feet helps you go faster is not a secret, as we have seen back for centuries. Also in 1951, Shigeki Tanaka of Japan won the Boston Marathon, and he was in tiny canvas sock shoes with a separated big toe. This guy won. Very thin. So thinner, the better. Mm. Don't have much in your feet. Just keep it light. Mm. So I think the style helps, but also the technique comes in. Just like you said, if you're in Ethiopia, just don't keep running, like you will fall down. Mm-hmm. So I think the technique is very important here. So to you, Solomon, what would you think these runners in Ethiopia, in Kenya, the one in Somalia, what maybe is their technique here to win when they come all the way from Ethiopia and you're dropped down, boom, in the USA? Boston, it's cold. And the weather's different anyway.
Mm-hmm. Well, in fact, only the athletes themselves and yes. their trainers, and most probably the sports analysts may give the exact answer or the closest correct answer. But I think one is the experience they cope, you know, through years.
Yes.
And they know what to do mm-hmm. and how to win. In some cases, for instance, in case of Abebe Bikila, mm-hmm. he had a technique, not only his, in fact, mm. there are other runners as well. You know, they developed the technique that they keep themselves, you know, in the middle mm-hmm. for the first 10 kilometers. Okay. And then they keep with the leadership, mm. okay, at the head.
Yeah.
And then they never come out in front from the beginning, mm. you know. Because, you know, they have to
so they maintain save
energy mm. and the breath and okay. And the endurance and all this, you know, right. until they acquire their second breath. And when they come to the finish, mm. like 10 kilometers or 8 kilometers to the finish, right. now they start to lead, you know.
Right.
And this is one thing. From the technical aspect. Right. The other thing is, I think, the time when they go to the trainings, as I tried to mention earlier.
Yeah.
When countries send their athletes like 2 weeks, 3 weeks ahead of the actual date of the game, the match,
yeah. uh-huh.
you know, they lose their condition, you know,
right.
and their body start, you know, reorganizing and adopting itself with the current mm-hmm. situation. And right. when they run, it gets confused. Their body, their system doesn't understand where it belongs. In home country, in Ethiopia.
Or in Boston.
Or in Boston.
Exactly. You know, yeah,
and,
sad.
You know, here they may lose, you know, their energy or... Mm-hmm. The push, you know, to win.
Right.
And sometimes even the moral mm-hmm. goes down, you know. So I think these are the major factors, you
right.
know.
Okay.
As my friend said, they are sparing their time and energy and everything. And then when it comes the third round or 10 kilometers, like you mentioned, that's when they come like a Land Cruiser.
Yeah, exactly.
You're asking yourself where all this energy came from.
Yeah, because the people who are leading nowadays the mm-hmm. marathon are from Africa.
So it is yeah. something, as you said, Solomon, Mother Africa, something to do with Mother Africa.
There must be something we get from the mother.
Thanks, and that's it for our show tonight, where we lightheartedly explore the marathon. A big thank you to my guests over the phone, and also a big thank you to the people in studio. Here we are, Solomon Abati. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you, Sunday. Thank you for having me here.
Sure, finally, after a long time. So thank you for showing up in your debut. And Mohammed Olat Hassan, thank you so much for
thank
coming
you.
Today.
Thank brother. You, it's my pleasure.
Sure, and of course, a big thank you to Jackson Mvunganyi is our producer. Send in your comments and experiences. Our email address is letstalk@voanews.com. From Washington, this is Sunday Shomari. See you next Monday.
Thank you.